In the hills above the University of California, Berkeley campus is Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Its director, Mike Witherill, joins us now. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm happy to join you.
Let's begin by having you tell us about the laboratory itself and what goes on there.
So Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, or Berkeley Lab, is a national laboratory that's owned by the Department of Energy and operated by the University of California. We have about 3,200 people working at the lab. Half of them are scientists, and we're working on some of the great national challenges of energy, environment, physics, chemistry. And it's a wonderful place that does really world leading research.
Is it safe to say, since this is part of a college campus, that students are involved within its operation?
Well, they are, but not exactly in the way an institute would be at a university. That is, the university is right next to us, and it's a university campus. We're actually just above the university and are a separate national laboratory. So we have close ties to the university, but we're actually separate. Importantly, all the students can walk up the hill and take part in experiments while they're taking the same days they're taking their classes.
I see. So that's the student involvement then. So they are involved.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
They are very involved. But just to say that we're a separate institution with very close connections.
So let's get into the Lawrence part of the lab's name. Now, Ernest O. Orlando, rather, Lawrence, was its founder. He had roots here in South Dakota.
Absolutely. He was born in 1901 in Canton, South Dakota, and grew up there. His father was an educator and came to be the state superintendent of education and ran the normal schools there. And himself worked through the education system, got his BS in chemistry at the University of South Dakota.
And then went on from there to get his PhD from Yale. Do you know why he chose to leave South Dakota and go to Yale?
Well, I don't know exactly, but he got his degree in chemistry at South Dakota. Then he got a master's in physics at Minnesota and then went on with that advisor to Yale. And he started moving very fast. He got his bachelor's in 1922. He had his PhD 3 years later, which is pretty good. And then he started on a faculty track, and he was a full professor at Berkeley by the age of 30. So he was on a fast track.
Now, it's been said that somewhere around the time about the mid-1920s was what they called the dawn of quantum physics with several discoveries. Could you expand on that a bit and perhaps get into relativity and quantum mechanics and perhaps even the proton?
Yeah, well, for all of us physicists, and I'm a physicist, the revolution of all revolutions came around 1920 or so, about 100 years ago. The two big parts of it were special and general relativity from Einstein, and then the discovery of quantum physics, that matter was made out of electrons around a nucleus, and all the things that our quantum devices are built on today. So that was all going on right in that period around the 1920s.
Now let's talk about Lawrence, because he was what I think, way before his time. He knew how to better understand the atomic nucleus, making additional progress, and he felt that it was going to be easier to build a circular accelerator as opposed to a linear accelerator. Could you make sense to that, to the average person? What would he mean by that?
Well, first of all, people were understanding the outside of atoms, electrons, but this nucleus at that time was a complete mystery. They had no idea what was in it or what held it together. And the problem was, to study that, you needed to fire protons into it at millions of electron volts of energy. Now, he actually worked on building both a linear accelerator, but he had a novel concept for a circular accelerator. And what that means is that the protons go around and around, getting a little faster every time, and he could get them up to millions of electron volts in a very small device, something that he could put right in the laboratory. And that was a breakthrough.
Yeah, I would say so. Now let's move on to the decade of the 1930s, where he was really young. He and a student by the name of Stanley Livingston built a cyclotron. Now that accelerated protons, if I understand this right, and that marked the birth of particle physics. Correct?
That's right, and that was the first time at a four and a half million electron volt proton that could get into the nucleus and start seeing what was inside of it. And from there on, that was a 27-inch cyclotron. Then he built a 60-inch cyclotron. Then he built a 184-inch cyclotron. And he built this marvelous team of scientists, engineers, and technicians working together to build these bigger and bigger accelerators.
Now, he was just, I believe, if my math is correct here, 40 years old, winning the Nobel Prize for the invention of the cyclotron. Could you go into particle physics and what it meant at that time in this cyclotron?
Well, it, in some sense, you can think about all of particle physics as really getting launched with the first accelerators that he built. All of a sudden, it was on a path from having protons with a few million electron volts to higher energy accelerators that went to billions of electron volts to trillions of electron volts over time. And that all came out of Lorentz's work. And with every new level of energy, new particles were discovered, new forces were discovered, until we get to where we are today, where we actually know what the model by which the universe is made. We know the theory of matter, space, and time.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Mike Witherell. He's director of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. The Lawrence part of that is Ernest O. Lawrence. We talked about him being born in Canton, South Dakota, receiving his chemistry degree in 1922 from the University of South Dakota. And I mentioned this earlier, and you would probably agree that he was way before his time.
He was way before his time in two distinct ways, that he could see what accelerators could become and what it would mean for him to build a practical accelerator before anybody else did. Secondly, he was before his time in building a big team to do big science together, that they could do things that before that, everyone was working as individual scientists with small devices in their laboratories. He thought big, and he thought about a big team doing science. And that's how we do most science today.
I find it pretty interesting. You and I have talked about him getting his PhD from Yale, and he founded the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. So he was all over the place, coast to coast, worldwide. This guy was just a huge figure.
Yes, and it's interesting. His brother, John Lawrence, mm-hmm. was born in 1904, joined him in Berkeley. He was a medical researcher. He was one of the first medical researchers using accelerators too. So that was a pretty good few years in Canton there.
Was it in his blood? I mean, talk about his mother and father and their parents. I mean, was this geniusness built in?
Well, all I can imagine is a combination that on the one hand, his family, his father was something with a passion for science, for learning, for education, and knew what that could mean. And I think he was just one of these remarkable characters who could see beyond what other people could see. And he was always somehow able to have a vision all the way.
It's interesting to know that the Berkeley Lab contributed to the discovery of 16 elements on the periodic table that we know today. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, once you had these accelerators, they realized they could start effectively making new nuclei and new isotopes with them, including ones where you're basically just using accelerator to glue extra protons and neutrons onto other nuclei, and for a short time you can make these bigger nuclei. So they found 16 separate elements were discovered, at least in part, at Berkeley Lab. I think that's the record of any institution in the world. And as a result, some of them are named Lawrencium and Berkelium and Californium, in fact.
Let's bring Robert Wilson into the fold. Robert Wilson was a protege of Ernest O. Lawrence, the founder of Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. And he founded the Fermi Lab. Now, the Fermi Lab plays a big role in the Dune experiment with the Samford Underground Research Lab here in Leeds, South Dakota.
That's right. Bob Wilson is another great hero of mine. He was a 25-year-old graduate student with Lawrence, and then he went on to work in the Manhattan Project. And after that, he started building synchrotrons, which was the next generation of the accelerators. And he built the new lab, Fermilab, which built the biggest accelerators at that time. And I was lucky enough to be the fourth director of Wilson's lab, and I'm now the eighth director of Lawrence's lab. So I have a lot of connection with both those great men. Yeah, Fermilab is in an important position now because they're the ones that are delivering the neutrinos to South Dakota for the Dune experiment.
Again, we're talking about Ernest Orlando Lawrence, the Berkeley Lab, better known as the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, the Lawrence portion of that, 1939 Nobel Prize winner in physics, born right here in Canton, South Dakota. His team science concept, I love this. This is on your website. We'll close with this. His team science concept is a Berkeley Lab legacy today, isn't it?
It is. It's the way we do most of our science today. And in fact, all 17 national laboratories around the country are based on the concept of applying this idea of team science to grand national challenges. That is what we do.
Mike Witherell, the director of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, with us today talking about Ernest Orlando Lawrence. Get the name there. He's the founder of this laboratory in Berkeley. He was born in Canton, South Dakota. Mr. Witherell, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. And I love the Sanford Underground Research Facility. It's a great place.